So this will be the first of Zootorah. Each week we'll be examining a different animal or a different aspect of animals in Torah. So let's introduce today's topic. Hold on a second. Everyone get that video? Did that come through okay? Someone give me feedback? Alright, great. So, the topic for this evening is elephants. Let's begin with looking at some scriptural references to elephants. Let's pull up PowerPoint again. King made a chair out of big teeth, or out of teeth, and coated it with teeth. Would you use to make a chair? You'd use the teeth of elephants, elephant ivory. Here you have a picture of some magnificent elephant tusks. These are real. As you can see, elephant tusks can be absolutely gigantic. They can weigh over 200 pounds per tusk. So that is one reference in Tanakh to elephants, or indirectly to elephants. Speaking about the ships of Shlomo HaMelech. Ki onios l'melech holchus l'tarshish im adei churam. So the ship would go to Tarshish with the sea of Tarshish. The ships of Tarshish would come. Those of Zahav Chesed carrying gold and silver. Shen Havim. Now Kofim is monkeys. Tukim is probably peacocks. And Shen Havim is translated by some of the commentaries as ivory, and others of the commentaries explain it as referring to Pasuk in Tanakh speaking about elephants. And very, you know, dry technical Pasuk is telling us something of a later, and we're gonna see some added significance to it. Away from Tanakh, let's move towards Chazal and later sources and see what we have to say about elephants. So first of all, we have to mention Perek Shira. Perek Shira, for those who haven't heard about it, is an old and obscure midrash. And what it does is that it goes through different parts of nature. Sun, stars, plants, animals, birds, bugs. And everything gets a pasuk from Tanakh. And that pasuk alludes to what there is to learn from that creature. So, let's see what Perek Shira says about the elephant. Oops. Sorry. Here we go. Ma'adadlu ma'asetah Hashem, ba'od amku ma'ashavosecho. How great are your works, tremendously deep. So this verse alludes to what there is to learn from elephants. So the first part of it is pretty straightforward. Ma'adadlu ma'asetah Hashem, how great are your works, God. It's an expression of wonder at the elephant, because the elephant is a wondrous creature. Now it's interesting, not a lot of people know this, but there's a bracha that you make on elephants. The Gemara says, that one who sees an elephant or a monkey who varies the creations. That's a very blessed is he who makes unusual creatures. Okay, so bracha that you make when you go to a zoo and you see an elephant, provided you haven't seen one in a while, so it's a new experience. The bracha you make is Baruch Mashana Havrios, blessed is the one who makes unusual creatures. Now, why are we making that bracha on the elephant? So it's because there are, you know, many unusual and amazing aspects of elephants. Let's look at a couple of things on a PowerPoint presentation to get an appreciation for just how amazing elephants are. So, you know, there's two different types of elephants. There's African elephants and Asian elephants. And the way that you can tell, if you're in Africa and you see an elephant, that's an African elephant. If you're in Asia and you see an elephant, that's an Asian elephant. Cute laughter. What do you do if you're in a zoo? So the answer is that there's several ways of telling them apart. African elephants are overall much bigger, and they have proportionately much larger ears, which are kind of shaped like Africa. Gigantic size, and his huge ears that are look kind of like a map of Africa. Now, Jumbo was a big elephant even by African elephant standards. He was about 14 feet tall. Most elephants you'll see in a zoo are Asian elephants, which are about 8 or 9 feet tall. Zoos sometimes have African elephants, which are about 11 feet tall, but Jumbo was a particularly large African elephant measuring 14 feet tall. As you can see, he was quite gigantic. Jumbo was displayed in the London Zoo, and then he was acquired by P.T. Barnum and transported to the United States. So the first amazing thing about elephants is their size, their height, and their weight. The maximum weight for an elephant, anyone want to guess what it is? Anyone want to interrupt with their guess? What's the maximum weight for an elephant?
Okay. 10 tons, we have votes here in the bleachers.
Okay. 22,000 pounds.
11 tons.
It's the tremendous size of elephants that now, you see that I interact with an African elephant. Okay, I mean the elephant. Okay, this is a professional elephant. Elephants can, in fact, be very dangerous creatures. We'll go later. So there's the elephant's trunk. It's also astonishing. Let's look at another amazing aspect of it. Can do this. hack anyone with the thing on your computers? Okay. Okay, Rick wants to know why elephants would have become adapted to swimming in salt water. Well, if I can mention the E word, evolution, it's the one suggestion is that they originally evolved from aquatic creatures, but even without going on to that approach, it's beneficial, you know. It's they can swim to different places, to different food sources would have become adapted to swimming in salt water. But it might be that, you know, they have their trunks for their own reasons, and it just so happens that trunks are also very useful as a snorkel, but not necessarily that the trunk is specifically for the purpose of swimming. Okay, we're still dealing with amazing aspects. Okay, so then we learned about how elephants communicate. You know, how dogs can hear sounds that are much too high for humans to hear. Or with elephants, it's the opposite. Elephants communicate with sounds that are too low and too deep for humans to hear. And they can send messages over many miles by this technique of infrasound. Okay, so we've seen for many different reasons that their size, their trunk, their communications ability, elephants are altogether incredible creatures. Now let's have a look at what the Jovis Alvarez has to say about the wonder of elephants. In Shahi Yechud, Jovis Alvarez says as follows. Says, wisdom is manifest in the smallest creatures as in the largest. The force of wisdom displayed in its great body size is not more marvelous than the force of wisdom displayed in the creation of the ant in its minuteness. Now, this is a very interesting thing. Now, it's true, ants are absolutely incredible. I have a whole thick book on my shelf about ants, and it's amazing. It reads like a thriller. And I have a whole series about, I give about. Elephants are not really any more amazing than ants. Right? Now, you might wonder that it's asking a bracha on the elephant, right? Earlier, we looked at the Gemara, which said that when you see an elephant, you make a bracha, Baruch Mishana Habrios, blessed is the one who makes such an amazing creature. If ants are really just as amazing as elephants, why do we only make a bracha on elephants and not on ants? Any suggestions? You don't have any suggestions on ants and not on ants? Right. Dov has the answer. It's more common to see ants. Let's have a look at what the Chazon Ish has to say. It is too much habituation that blunts the sensitivity of the soul, which should justly feel wonder at every living thing just by virtue of its being alive. In contrast to this, the soul does find wonder from certain species that are not so commonly found, such as is the case with one who sees an elephant or monkey. It's true, ants are just as amazing as elephants. The problem is that we're desensitized. We're desensitized to the wonder of most creatures because we see them all the time. Elephants, on the other hand, which we don't see so frequently, we can appreciate their wonder. So we make a bracha on elephants, Baruch Mishana Hebrios. Now, although originally this bracha was designated to be made with Hashem's name, right? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Mishana Hebrios. However, most halachic authorities rule that today you should make the bracha without Hashem's name. You just say Baruch Mishana Hebrios. The idea of what that might be?
In general, we don't make a lot of the brachot in Chelek Beit in our time. All those brachot that the Gemara says people, and which I don't fully understand why, are not so masbid on in general.
Okay, but can you think of a suggestion why, specifically with this bracha, many post gimul that you don't say with Hashem's name? Any ideas? Nope. Okay. The answer is, for the same reason we've been discussing, that people are desensitized. Even with elephants now, people are today desensitized to the wonder of elephants. You know, it's not like in the olden days where an elephant, if it came into town, would be the talk of the town. Nowadays, you know, we've seen elephants in National Geographic and magazines and pictures and encyclopedias. Nowadays, we don't feel that same sense of wonder that people used to feel. So that's why we don't make the bracha with Hashem's name. But we still make the bracha, right? We should still make the bracha because of the sheer wonder of the elephant. Let's take a look at another video here.
I don't understand that, because built into the saying of the bracha is the 30-day period, or you only do it occasionally, correct?
Okay, everyone hear that? Because the elephant is so amazing, that's why it's called pill. Word pill is based on the word pele, like in the bracha of Asher Yotzar, we say umapli latzos, because it's a word meaning wonder, because the elephant is a wondrous creature. Actually, I have a friend who used to be the elephant keeper in the Bronx Zoo, and his name was Phil, so I thought that was extremely appropriate. Now, while our video was playing, I heard that somebody was asking a question. So whoever it was, please ask that question again.
Ask me about the bracha. It's not clear to me. Isn't that why there's a built-in waiting period, as it were, for the bracha, that you only do it once in 30 days, or as you mentioned, once in a long while? So I don't understand the justification of not saying the bracha because you see elephants regularly. If you don't see an elephant regularly, you should make the bracha.
I think who's me, by the way? Who was speaking just now?
So.
I can't see my computer who's speaking. Oh, hi, Doug. Okay. Yeah, there's different levels, right? There's a certain level of desensitization which comes if you've seen an elephant within 30 days, and that's why you wouldn't take the bracha at all. But there's another level of desensitization which comes if you've ever seen an elephant, and that's why you wouldn't make the bracha with Hashem's name today. Yeah, that's my theory as to why Poskim rule that we don't say it with Hashem's name. Could be there's other reasons. Okay, let's go on. Now, because the elephant is such an amazing creature, so that's why we find the following interesting quote in the Gemara. If a person sees an elephant in a dream, wonders will take place for him. Again, because the word for wonder, pele, is related to the entire concept of an elephant. However, I have to qualify this. If you see an elephant in a dream tonight, no wonders are guaranteed, because the Gemara also says, just today you were attending a shiur on elephants. Don't be at all surprised if you do see an elephant in your dream tonight, and it is of no deeper significance, I'm afraid to tell you. Okay, going back to Perek Shira. So, Pil Omer, Magadlu Masefa Hashem, how great are your works, God. So we've understood now the first part of that pasuk. Okay. What about the last part of this pasuk? Ma'oz Anku, your thoughts are tremendously deep. Can we tie this in any way to the elephant? So it occurs to me that perhaps we can. Now, elephants are pretty scary creatures. Let's take a look at this video. And nobody ever heard from that cameraman again. The footage was just found amidst the squashed land. Extremely dangerous. In fact, the most dangerous job in the world is that of an elephant trainer. There are more fatalities proportionately amongst elephant keepers than there are in any other profession. It's more dangerous than death either. Right? Elephant keepers are amazing. Because elephants are so gigantic, right? It means that they're very powerful. Now, why exactly are elephants so gigantic? Let's take a look at this video for the answer. Over here, see if it works better. Huge and terrifying. Let me ask you this. I see Rick asked a question. We'll get back to that question later. Let me ask you this. Seeing as elephants are so large, so dangerous, which animal is the natural enemy of elephants? Any ideas? Which creature is the natural enemy? Welcome, Stephanie, who just joined. Sorry, kind of joining us towards the end of the class. We're asking which animal elephants. Okay, Rick says humans. Ask which animal. Okay, which animal? Not counting humans. Don't suggest crocodiles. I don't think a crocodile could take on an elephant. Yeah, maybe a baby elephant could take on. That's nothing more than that. Any other guess? I read Jungle Book a long time ago. Jay, which animal is the natural enemy of elephants?
I wish I knew.
Okay, everyone gives that. Well, it's not lions. Lions are not big enough. Let's have a look at what they're going to say.
Rhinoceros, I don't know. Hippopotamus.
No. Okay, well, Rick is the man tonight. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at what the Gemara says. The rabbi taught, there are five fears with which the fear of the weak is upon the mighty. The fear of the gnat is upon the lion, the fear of the mosquito is upon the elephant, and the fear of the swallow upon the vulture, and the fear of the killed fish upon the whale. I have no idea what a killed fish is. Rabbi Yehuda said, what is this scriptural source? He grants the robbed one power over the mighty. Okay, so there you have it. The natural enemy of the elephant is the mosquito. Now, that's because even though elephants are very big and they're very thick-skinned, right, an elephant's skin is about an inch thick, however, it's very sensitive. That's why, as Rick says, the elephants constantly like having a dust bath. It's because the parasites drive them crazy. Elephants are very sensitive, and they are driven nuts by the mosquitoes. So it's an astonishing thing, right? The biggest, most powerful creature in the entire world is terrified by the smallest, most minuscule creature. And that's what this section of the Gemara is speaking about the cases where the biggest things are afraid of the smallest things. Now, why would Hashem set it up in that way? The answer is it ties in also to the Gemara, which discusses Titus, right, the Roman Emperor Titus, who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and how it was brought down, also by a gnat, or a mosquito, tunneling into his brain. The idea being that the mighty empire was destroyed by the smallest creature. Why does Hashem do that? Because what Hashem wants to show is that, you know, physical size doesn't matter. Hashem uses the smallest and weakest of his messengers to destroy the mighty Titus in order to show Titus what a nothing he is. Up here in this idea that the smallest and weakest of creatures. And getting back to Perek Shira, we saw that in Perek Shira, the pasuk for the elephant was Magadol Masecha Hashem with Unku Mashu Secha. How great are your works, God? Your thoughts are very deep. And perhaps the latter part of this pasuk, your thoughts are very deep, is referring to this very deep and profound irony that exists with elephants. But despite that, they are tormented by the smallest and weakest of creatures. To remind us that ultimately, physical size is not what counts in this world. Some other assorted sources of elephants. You see, at the moment, what I'm doing is I'm writing a Torah encyclopedia of the animal kingdom. And for each animal, I type in that animal's name into my computer. I have a database with hundreds of different Torah texts. And I see what comes out. And what's very interesting is that often you'll see seemingly disparate, disconnected sources discussing the same animal often tying together in interesting ways. So let's have a look at some other sources in the Midrash, in the Gemara, dealing with elephants. Okay. Here we have a pasuk from Vayikra, speaking, describing which thing that walks in its hands among all animals that walk on all four legs, are tame to you, whoever touches that carpet. Now, the Midrash backs up in certain nuances of the wording in the verse in order to derive that the Torah is specifically coming to include certain. So the phrase, everything that walks in its hands, comes to include the monkey, right? Because monkeys have hands. The Midrash says that comes specifically to include the elephant. That's one. Mishnah in Kilayim discusses whether animals like the hema is a domesticated animal, chaya is a wild animal. The Mishnah says that the monkey and the elephant are types of chaya. Even though these animals can be trained to a certain extent, to a very high extent actually, but they're still not considered to be domesticated animals. They're still considered to be wild animals. And even in zoology, the elephant is not rated as a domesticated animal. Elephants in India that are used for logging are not considered to be domesticated, they're considered to be trained. Another discussion in the Gemara about Erevin. You know, on Shabbos, you can only walk 2,000 amos beyond the city limits. If you want to walk further than that, and what you have to do is take an Erev, it's a token meal, and deposit, then on Shabbos, you can walk a further 2,000 cubits beyond that point. But what the Gemara discusses though is that do you have to yourself physically transport that area to 2,000 cubits beyond the city limits? And the answer is no, you can give it to someone else to do it. But what about instead of giving it to another person, if you give the area to an elephant, and the elephant transports it to a monkey, it is not a kosher area. But if you told somebody else, okay, so that's all the different Talmudic sources discussing elephants. Well, not all, but pretty much most of them. Now, anyone notice anything unusual about those sources? Anyone notice anything strange? Joe, Jay, Saul, Kenny, Rick, Michelle, Stephanie? Anyone? Dula? Okay, since no one is volunteering the answer, I guess I will. Paul? Isn't that strange? If you think back, monkeys together with elephants, right? First we had even in Tanakh, right, the ships of Shlomo, they transported monkeys and elephants. Then we had the bracha and the gemara, right, the bracha that you make upon elephants and monkeys, right? And then we had the laws of Tumah, that the Midrash has to specifically come and include monkeys and elephants and the laws of Tumah. And we have the Mishnah saying that a monkey and elephant are both types of chaya. Then we have the Gemara discussing Erevin, also discussing elephants and monkeys. Now, why do elephants and monkeys always appear together? What is it that elephants and monkeys have in common? Anyone? Viola? Anyone? Okay, this is not turning out to be quite as interactive as I'd hoped. What do monkeys and elephants have in common?
People are shy, but
the answer is that elephants and monkeys are very, very smart. They are the smartest creatures of all. Okay, in the water, yeah, dolphins are smart, but in terms of land animals, the smartest creatures are monkeys, followed by elephants. Okay? So, now let's go back to the bracha that you make upon Mishana Hebrews. Now you might wonder, why does it highlight elephants and monkeys? So some explain that it's not doesn't specifically mean elephants and monkeys. It's just using elephants and monkeys as examples of an exotic and unusual creature. But you'd make that bracha upon any unusual creature you'd see, right? You'd also make it upon a rhinoceros, or a pangolin, or an anteater, or a kangaroo, or a bandicoot, or a sloth, right? Any exotic creature. But others say no, that you specifically make that bracha upon elephants and monkeys. Why would you specifically make that bracha upon elephants and monkeys? So, let's go back to what we were discussing. What do elephants have in common, and monkeys have in common? That they're both exceptionally intelligent creatures. Now, intelligence is really the most basic thing that sets animals, right? Man is between us and them. So seeing as elephants and monkeys themselves possess this exceptional intelligence, so you think that maybe elephants are similar to people than they are to animals. So that's why in Midrash they tell us that they are included by this pasuk speaking about which animals. Don't think elephants and monkeys are more like people in this regard. You have to realize that they're more like animals in this regard. And that's why, again, with the laws of Eruv, I have to discuss why the Eruv is not valid. It will give the example of elephants and monkeys. Even though they're so smart and you can train them, nevertheless, they're still not counted as people. And coming back to this for us, this elephant, you make the bracha, Baruch Mishana Havrios, blessed is the one who makes unusual creatures. Creatures like cats and dogs and sheep and extras, unusual creatures such as elephants. But now we're getting a totally different perspective on the bracha. Now we're suggesting that the bracha is not contrasting elephants with other animals. Instead, it's contrasting are fundamentally similar to people in terms of their tremendous intelligence, their rich range of emotions, nevertheless different from people. They don't possess free will, they don't possess a neshama, they don't make moral choices between good and evil. So this is a radically different perspective on the bracha, that we're not making this bracha to contrast elephants with other animals, instead we're making the bracha to contrast elephants and apes with people. And that is actually very important, because there are those nowadays who suggest that apes and people are the same, and apes should have equal legal rights as people. Okay, so let's just finish now with one more video showing you just exactly how intelligent elephants are. We'll watch some elephants doing some tricks. Hope this video works okay. Let's take a look. As you can see, the elephant is placing the hat on the keeper's head. See, the elephants in the zoo I teach, the Jerusalem Biblical Zoo, they know 60 different commands. And they also paint pictures. You give them a paintbrush, paints, and they hold the brush in their trunk, dip it in the paints, and they paint. Okay, it's modern art, right? But it's art. The looking industry isn't too popular nowadays. It's just sending their trunks to other things. Paint. Can I email you back about a 3 megabyte file? I'll also email you a list of the sources. There's one more thing you've got to see coming up in a moment. So, there you have it, the intelligence and the wonder of the elephant. The end of this class. I hope you enjoyed it. Look forward to joining you all next week. Again, if you want to see the source, if you want to have a list of sources that we discussed, you can email me and I'll send it to you. And I can also email you that video of the elephant trick.